Welcome to Two Sports Nuts. We are on a little bit earlier this week. This is our Penn State sanction special. A lot of S's in there. John Mulhern, as always, along with Jerome Schell III, coming to you from Boise, Idaho, and Uniontown, Pennsylvania. We're just kind of getting together. We're going to have about 20 minutes to a half hour. We're going to go over what happened earlier this week with Penn State being sanctioned by the NCAA. We'll look at, did they have the right to do that? Did they have the jurisdiction? How these sanctions will affect Penn State in the future, and what our thoughts are overall on what the sanctions will mean for the university going forward. Jerome, welcome. How are you doing after hearing those sanctions earlier this week?
Well, I am actually quite upset about all the sanctions, about everything that took place. I feel that the NCAA overstepped its bounds, and we'll get into all the details and the particulars, but I feel that Penn State needs to fight these sanctions.
Well, and that's one of the things that we're definitely going to look at as we go down through all the sanctions. Can Penn State fight it? And if they can, what maybe the best chances they would have of getting some of these overturned? The big question is a lot of people are looking at, did the NCAA overstep their bounds and their limits based on what they stand for versus what this case is? And I, for one, think that they did overstep their bounds a little bit, in as much as that I think we've talked about this in the past. This wasn't a team-oriented act. This was an official's act of a university. So where does the NCAA, who is to regulate the athletics part of college, think that they have a right to step in and rule? I think the first thing we need to make clear before we get into the debate, though, is neither one of us here supports anything that Jerry Sandusky now has actually been proved guilty of. I mean, right off the top, we're not looking at innocent or guilt. We're looking at the Penn State part of it. Obviously, I don't think anyone would debate the child abuse is negative, no matter where it happens, but who does it.
And neither do we condone the actions of Joe Paterno or Schultz or Curley or Spanier. What we're doing is we're taking a look at the impact on Penn State, the football program, and the monetary amount on the athletic program itself.
Exactly. And let's get to the first point. Is the NCAA had these sanctions earlier this week. In your mind, I've already said I don't think they did. In your mind, do you think the NCAA had the jurisdiction to levy these sanctions against Penn State?
Prior to their announcement, I did. But the fact that they used the ethics clause, and I believe ethics somewhere in their constitution or the bylaws, they can use the ethics and circumvent any other legal issues to say, well, this is ethical and moral, and you should have done better.
I don't think anyone's questioned the fact that they should have done better and should have done anything, you know, to keep Sandusky off of Penn State campus. I think what that, to me, is a criminal issue, not a collegiate athletic issue. I think that's where I have the problem, is that the NCAA is there to govern the athletics, not govern the officials. The officials are governed by the Board of Trustees and the criminal acts, and then that's a whole different debate. But we're going to focus on just the NCAA today. And I don't think the NCAA necessarily had the right to step in. Having said that, did they feel like they had to step in? I think media pressure forced their hand to where they had to come in and levy some sort of penalties against the university.
I agree that they did have to step in because of the media pressure, but I still think the NCAA felt that the Board of Trustees did nothing. They were supposed to keep things in check. They didn't. The president didn't keep things in check. They felt that maybe it helped them with recruiting. I really don't know if that really is a true fact, but they can play that angle as well. And I think that the NCAA decided that, hey, we're going to put our foot down. There have been a lot of things going on in college football lately. The Miami investigation being part of this as well. I think they're looking at a lot of scandal and saying we're finally putting our foot down, and Penn State unfortunately has to bear the brunt of their punishment.
That's one of the few positives that I could pull out of this going forward, is if the NCAA has now, by signaling these punishments earlier this week, said, we are going to take every punishment and we're going to, you know, levy as harsh a penalty as we possibly can against the universities, then if I'm Miami, I'm out there going, uh-oh, we got a big problem, because that falls right in the wheelhouse of what the NCAA's jurisdiction is. It's an athletic scandal. It's athlete problems. There's money exchanging hands. That falls right under the wheelhouse. If I'm Miami and I see that those sanctions that Penn State got, I am shaking down in Florida right now.
And before we get into all the particulars, everyone says that this was not the death penalty. I believe it is actually stronger than the death penalty. While it is a slow death penalty, I think it is the death penalty itself. Because this is not going to just affect the 4 years coming forward. It's going to affect 4 years down the road, maybe even six, and this could be a decade-long problem.
I think you're right. I think we're definitely looking at, you know, minimum 5 years when the sanctions are going on, and then how quickly can Penn State rally and get some top recruits and start competing at what's the highest level of Division I college football would be. Real quick, before we jump into the sanctions here, this past weekend there was a lot of debate about the Paterno statue coming down or standing up prior to the NCAA leveling the sanctions on Monday. Your thoughts on Paterno statue coming down before the sanctions, and then your thoughts on his statue already being down once the sanctions came out?
It was a good move to take the statue down. I felt all along it had to come down after it was proven that he lied and covered things up. However, I believe the library itself should remain named in Paterno's name. He donated a lot of money to the university for that library. He helped raise money for the library, so the library should remain the Paterno Library. Now, the sanctions, the announcement that they were going to enforce the sanctions on Penn State came right about the same time that the announcement came that the statue was coming down. So it was kind of like one right after the other. And
I think something might have leaked out there to Penn State, said, hey, you probably want to get rid of that by Monday.
I think so.
I think the university handled it about as appropriately as you could. They came out and said, look, we can't leave that statue up because of the implications of the fact that this was, not necessarily a football issue. It involved the coach. It involved, you know, the ADs. It involved the presidents. We have to take this down because the statue was becoming a divisive thing. I think Penn State chose their words really well for that statement. But at the same time, they said, look, we're going to take down the statue because everybody's focusing on this being a football issue, but we're not going to take the name off the library. His wife's name's on the religious center. So look, all these things that they did, other than for football, helped provide the university and propel the university forward. We're going to leave that stuff as is. We think that is okay. We think that is appropriate because Joe Paterno, the man, was more than the football coach for that university. He was the coach, and he was also a leader with the donations back, you know, to provide for the library and the religious center. So I think we agree on that, that the statue had to come down before Monday. Glad that it was down by Monday. And, yeah, something definitely leaked. What I want to do now, Jerome, is I want to jump into these NCAA sanctions. We're going to go down the list. I have a list here in no particular order, kind of how I found them all in some of these various articles. The first one we're going to attack is we're going to attack the $60 million fine, which is equal to one gross year of football revenue, and that money is going to go into an endowment for programs to help prevent child sexual abuse and assist the victims in the future. A few caveats on that from the NCAA. They cannot cut a sports program or scholarships, and they also found out this money cannot fund any Penn State programs. I think that the $60 million might be a bit high, but I think that the intent is correct. I think they had to base it on something. They based it on 1 year of football income. I like where the money is going. It's going to help people in the future, you know, prevent and get help with, you know, being abused.
Well, this is the only sanction that actually helps the victims in this case. The money is going to be set up for victims of child abuse, and I applaud the NCAA in this fine and where it's going to go. The $60 million, though, is going to be paid out over 5 years, so really $12 million each year. It's not that effective in penalizing Penn State on a one-year basis, but losing the grand total of a 4 years' worth of revenues, it hurts the university. Thankfully, it's not going to hurt any of the ancillary sports or any of the other programs at the university. I like how they worded that. But the punishment for money was definitely part of it, and I believe it should have been. And it was maybe a little excessive, but it still fit the crime.
Absolutely, I agree. You could worry about the number. I think the NCAA, they couldn't just pull a number out of thin air. So I guess they looked at Penn State and said, all right, what are you making a year? We're going to fine you that amount. Space it over 5 years. They're going to go help the victims. I don't think anybody can have an argument with that. The next one I want to talk about is the four-year postseason ban. They'll be eligible again in the 2017 season. That is effective starting in this year. To me, that's a standard. I don't think 4 years is necessarily too long. I don't really have an attachment to the number of years, but I think it's fair.
I think that it's fair they had a bowl game, but I think the length of time was too long. This basically tells freshmen that are on this team right now, you're never going to play in a bowl game if you're an incoming freshman. It will allow these freshmen to make it easier for them to say, hey, we're leaving. We want to play in a bowl game. We want to play for a national title. Even if we redshirt, it's the fifth year of the problem. We're not going to bounce back right away after that first year. I think it's a caveat for them to actually leave and go to other universities. So I think that it actually is an extra penalty on Penn State University.
Which leads into the third sanction, the waiver of the transfer rules. Players who have gotten scholarships with Penn State, as of Monday, they are no longer required to stay at Penn State. They can immediately transfer to another school without sitting out a year, which is a normal penalty that you would have to wait. You'd have to transfer to another school, wait a year, and then be eligible to play. That's been waived by the NCAA. That's a fair move for the players. I mean, it doesn't really, as we talked about, it doesn't really help the victims. It doesn't help Penn State. It helps the players who have committed to Penn State who are like, hey, you know what? I do want to go. My only question for that is, what if a student wants to transfer, can't get out this year? Will that waiver hold over to next year when there's more time? Because right now we're 2 weeks away from training camp starting up all around the nation.
I believe it was for the life of their contract or scholarship with the university, because there's just not enough time to jump right away. Now, Silas Red this year will probably end up at USC. USC has already contacted Penn State. They want to talk to Silas Red. He's probably going to jump bolt there. He can have a shot at the national title this year. So that's going to hurt the offense, running game. We can get to that in a couple of weeks. Of course, that's trivial to everything that we have going on right now. But that's just the first of what could be many defections.
Yeah, I think this is one of the ones that will hurt Penn State the most. I think the ruling, it makes sense when you look at with the four-year postseason ban. I also agree that from the interest of the players, the NCAA made a right ruling there. It's like, look, you guys on the team didn't have anything about this. Some of them committed before even the grand jury report came out. That's how early some of these players commit. So they said, look, we're not going to punish you more than what we've already have. If you can find another school to take you and give you a scholarship, go right ahead. Again, you know, it's fair for the players, obviously, from Penn State perspective. Now you have to try and rally and keep those guys, especially as we talked about the freshmen. The next one we'll talk about, the vacated wins. Penn State has to vacate 112 games that they have won starting in 1998 all the way through 2011. The biggest attack to that is now Joe Paterno is no longer number one in the all-time coaching wins. He's behind Bobby Bowden in the Division I. I think he drops down to like 8th or 12th, depending on another couple of lists you're looking at. To me, that's a punitive thing that takes away from Joe Paterno's legacy in terms of punishing Penn State or punishing the university or helping the victims. I think it does nothing. I think it's kind of one of those ones where it's like standard, this is the time frame of the incident, therefore you won't get anything for the time. The biggest thing that affects us is basically says that all the football games we went to never actually happened, and you know, I'm never going to lose memories of being in the football games. I know you probably won't either, but, you know.
No, but I want my money back for those games I didn't attend, apparently.
And you know what? If I can get, what was it, $124 for season tickets over a few years, yeah, it'd be nice to have that back in my pocket right about now. It won't really affect much anybody, I think. It's like, all right, you took away the wins. It happened in the past. People who were there know about it. People who weren't there never knew what happened. I mean, what are you going to do?
I actually disagree with you. I think this is going to actually upset a lot of Penn State alumni and of people that are in state college. I can't tell you how many people that I can almost guarantee are going to yell, rant, and rave because it took away these wins. These games took place. These players played the games. The actions of Sandusky and others did not affect what happened on the field. Why are they taking away wins? They're just trying to take away the legacy of Joe Paterno, and these former players have had all their accomplishments taken away from them.
Well, they haven't affected the players' records. I think, as far as I understand it, and I could very well be wrong, if anybody listening knows it, make a comment on in the comment section here. I think it just affects the wins record. I don't think any player's accomplishments are being taken away. And, I mean, yeah, you had a couple players, you know, the big thing will probably be the players that won some of the bigger bowl games in the last 5 to 6 years. Those are the guys that probably have the biggest concerns. I was already out of Penn State University by the start of the 2005 season. They had one good year while I was there, so I'm probably affected the least in terms of number of wins taken away for my tenure when I was at the university. So maybe that's why I have that thought to it. But I could see where a lot of players would be like, hey, we accomplished that. We worked hard for that. You took it away from us. And they could be upset. I could definitely see that. To me personally, the wins I could take it or leave at this point.
Well, for me personally, I kind of got upset because that 2005 season was my final year. My final year, they had had four losing seasons. In my year, they go out and they win a Big Ten title. They're one game away from playing for the national title. That was my best year, and you look at that, those wins are vacated.
Yeah, I hear you. I think this is one of those ones that is going to come down to persons, individuals, and what they feel about that. But the one thing I know that they won't be, they may take away the wins or take away, you know, the games happen, but, you know, I'll remember, you know, sitting in the front row for certain games, and I'll still be able to tell stories of games that happened while I was there. And they can take the wins, they can take the games, but the memories are always going to be there. And to me, the memories and being in that stadium with, you know, 110,000 fans is more important to me than whether they won or lost. That's my idea at the end of the day. But again, individuals have their own thoughts on it, and you're not right or wrong either way.
Okay, well, let's get on to the next sanction, because we can debate that point all day long. I think we both have differing views on the situation. So let's move on to the next sanction.
The next one, and this one is probably the one that will kill the program for the next 15 years, the scholarship reductions. According to the NCAA, Penn State is only allowed to sign 15 recruits per year through 2016 versus the 25 recruits that other schools can sign every year. Starting in 2014, Penn State is only allowed to have 65 players on scholarship until after the 2017 season. Again, that's versus the 85 players that every other university is going to have. So basically, Penn State for the next 4 years can only have 15 recruits, so they can only sign 60 guys, and they will have to have a total of 60 scholarships less than every other school in Division I football. That will kill the program.
I've been waffling on this point for the past couple hours because I've been thinking about it, and Bill O'Brien and his impact could actually make that less of a problem. This is a guy who was in the NFL with a roster, a 53-man roster, so he's used to working with smaller rosters. Now, I do know that having college kids and 18- to 20-year-old kids there could affect that as well, but I think if you're going to have less scholarships and less in the impact, it's nice to have a guy who was in the NFL and worked with smaller rosters.
That is definitely something that is nice to have going for you. I think what it does give you is, in a weird way, it kind of gives you a recruiting tool. Maybe not this year, but definitely next year. It's like, hey, look, yeah, we're hurting right now. We can't sign that many guys. But if you come on now and you stay with Penn State for the next 4 years, by the time you're a senior, we will be back in bowl eligibility. You'll be part of that senior leadership group to help bring Penn State back to top-tier Division I football that we know the university can be. You know, and, you know, give them like the rah-rah speech. The problem is that you're going to have 112 other schools coming in saying, why do you want to play for them? They suck. I mean, that's basically going to be the two sides of that. The scholarship reductions, to me, is the one that is going to be really, really hard for Penn State to get around, because you can't finagle that. Those are hard numbers. You have to deal with the numbers you're given, and you can't miss on recruits. So you're going to have to take very targeted freshmen coming in and try and cultivate them into your system. So it's going to be tough, but I think it can be done. I just think it's going to be tough.
Obviously, it's going to be tough. But if you're going to have to do it, you like to have somebody who has experience working with a smaller roster than a college coach coming in who's worked with the 85-man scholarship. And it's going to be a small advantage there. I think the fact that he has been in the NFL and can use that as a recruiting tool, it might help. But I really do think this is the catalyst that says it's a 10-year or longer death penalty sentence here. And this is why I believe this group of sanctions really is a death penalty. Even though it's not, quote-unquote, the death penalty, it, in a way, is a slow death penalty.
Yeah, I can see that. I agree. I mean, there's not much else to add to that. That's the one that, you know, when you add it to everything else, that's the one that's really going to hurt them. And I think the big thing will be, how can they get kids in here before the postseason ban's over? If they can get a good base going, again, this year is probably out. And when I say this year, I'm talking going into the 2013 season, because they're already starting to recruit for that year. But I think for the 2013 season, that they're done. The 2014 season, that's when they have to start setting the base for trying to come out of this. And maybe they can get out of it in 10 years. A lot of people have been talking about, well, SMU, they got the death penalty in 87. They kept football out in 88. They're still trying to recover. To me, that's apples and oranges. I know SMU was a good football program at the time. But to me, I think once you get down to it, ultimately, I think Penn State's name will help bring it out of this a little bit quicker, but I agree that you're probably looking at about a decade of not being relevant for a championship in NCAA football. I do want to finish up real quick on the NCAA final sanction that I was able to find, and you know, you always hope you get everything together when you're doing researches for this. They're reserving the right to impose individual sanctions if they find out that other people knew other things about the whole incident. Really, to me, that's kind of like the Larry Johnson rule. He's still on the defensive staff, as far as I know. If they find out he knows something, they might force him to fire to put a show cause thing on him. But really, there isn't really anybody left at the university that they can sanction at this point that they haven't already done. Now, the NCAA wasn't the only people to speak out on Monday. The Big Ten also came out with their own list of sanctions. I have those listed as well. I do want to go down a couple more things with the NCAA sanction first. Penn State, though, 5-year probation. That standard runs along with everything else that they have going. They have to implement some of the ideas and things that were in the free report in terms of preventing this from happening again, which I think is a good idea. Again, to me, that's something that the university was already trying to do. The NCAA is setting up a compliant office to keep Penn State on the correct path. That compliance office will report back to the NCAA every quarter to make sure it's going in the right direction. And the big one, Jerome, and this is the one that I think you were hoping maybe didn't exist, Penn State cannot appeal the NCAA sanctions because they signed a letter basically saying, we accept these sanctions as is, nothing we can do about it, we're just going to roll over and take it.
Okay, I want to talk about this issue because while I was watching ESPN last night, and I will give them credit for this, I was watching their College Football Live program, and they were talking that the reporter talked to Penn State President Rod Erickson, and he said that they were under the impression that if they did not sign that agreement, that Penn State would not have football for 4 years.
That would definitely be a death penalty. So they wouldn't recover from that one.
Well, they were coerced into signing that agreement, and you wonder if Penn State were to fight, would they be able to win that battle?
My worry, if you decide to fight that, is could the NCAA then come back around and say, all right, fine, you want to fight these sanctions, we'll levy 4 years of no football. Like, I wonder if it was an either or. There were some Board of Trustee members that came out earlier this week as well and said, look, we never saw this. No one came to the Board of Trustees and said, we're going to sign this and get it done. I see what the university is trying to do. Let's get the sanctions out of the way. Let's keep moving on. But again, the Board of Trustees is not in touch with what's going on at the university if that is absolutely true, that they weren't brought in on this. And to me, at least Penn State still gets to play football. I mean, I still get to watch them on TV. They're not on a TV ban. So, yeah, Penn State was in a bad spot. They were working from a point of no leverage. Can they appeal? Probably. But at the same time, do you really want to appeal and possibly get worse sanctions against you than what they already got?
The fact that it appears that they were coerced makes me feel a lot better about the president of the university. I thought he was just rolling over and letting them do whatever they wanted to Penn State. And then you find this out, if it's true, or maybe it's just spin, but at least you feel a little bit better about your university saying, well, at least they didn't just roll over and die.
If it was, you take these sanctions or you don't play football for 4 years, I'd rather take the sanctions. I mean, and you look at it from the university standpoint, based on the fact that you're making $60 million a year on the football program, they had to take the sanction because they needed the revenue to support their other sports. If they kill football at Penn State, they kill just about every other sport on that campus.
Absolutely. Well, let's move into the Big Ten sanctions because the Big Ten decided to pile on.
Well, I thought that first, and I went through and looked at this, and some of the sanctions that the Big Ten passed actually makes sense when you look at it in conjunction with the NCAA. So let's go to the first one. The first one is that the Big Ten put down the sanction on Penn State that Penn State's share of bowl revenue over the next 4 years, which they believe to be about $13 million, will go to Big Ten charities dedicated to protecting children. Again, something for the victims, good. The reasoning behind that, from what I read, is the Big Ten said, look, you can't play in bowls. They also banned them real quick. They also banned Penn State from playing in the Big Ten championship games. So all postseason games are out for Penn State. They said, look, you cannot play in postseason bowl games. So therefore, you cannot contribute money to the shared bowl revenue. So because you can't contribute money, we're not going to give you ours. So what we would have given you, we're just going to put in to charities to help protect children of abuse in the future. So yes, they piled on. I like where the money is going. And it makes sense to me because Penn State wasn't playing in bowl games anyways. Why should they get bowl money?
Well, when it comes to this, I really thought that they were piling on because they waited only 2 hours to make the announcements. Obviously, they were going to take away the postseason money. Obviously, they were going to say you can't play in our title game because you can't play in the bowl game. But I still think the way they did it and went about it, it was like they were puffing out their chest and saying, we're important too.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that the Big Ten decided, or the NCAA did their thing, now we're going to go out and say, look, we're doing all these things. And when you look at it from what the Big Ten actually did, a lot of it was just common sense stuff like, well, gee, you can't play in bowl games, so let's not give you your bowl money. I mean, there was nothing there that's mind-blowing. Something else that the Big Ten did, they censored Penn State, which I had to do a little bit of research on this, and basically they wrote a strongly worded reprimand to Penn State and said, don't do that again because that makes us look bad and you're in trouble and go to your room. That's what a censure is. They told the Penn State that you did a bad thing and we don't like that and we're going to punish you. So there you go. They got a certified letter from Indianapolis.
And that was kind of goes back to my point that they were puffing their chest out. Big deal. You wrote a letter to Penn State saying don't do this again. Well, duh. Anybody's going to say that. Honestly, I mean, come on. Who's going to do that? Seriously.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they didn't want it to happen the first time either. Just guessing on that one. Two other things. They put Penn State on probation that runs concurrently with the NCAA's probation. Wow, big deal there. You basically said that you're on probation too because you're on probation with the NCAA. And as we already mentioned, they banned them from the Big Ten championship game, which realistically, are they going to play that anytime soon? Probably not. But the NCAA already banned them from postseason play. So for the Big Ten to come out and say, yeah, you're banned from postseason play and you can't play in our championship game. Well, newsflash to the Big Ten, that is technically a postseason game. They were already banned from that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and for the Big Ten itself, they're going to have one division that has two teams this year not able to play in their title game. So you could have a team with a losing record playing their conference title game.
Well, you never know. I mean, I guess that's the way it'll definitely, you know, it could possibly shake out. And, you know, the one thing, I was going through all these sanctions, and, you know, the Big Ten will deal with the Big Ten. I mean, Ohio State is the other school that is ineligible for postseason play this year. This is off the back of the tattoo and that whole debacle last year. But the one thing I was looking at is like, man, Penn State is getting hit with tons of money fines left and right and left and right. And I didn't know the exact number on how the $60 million was going to be doled out. But I'll tell you right now, the fact that Penn State still gets the TV money, they still get to be on TV and still get to go forward with that, that's going to help out a lot in terms of paying off these fines. It'll still help their exposure. Think of this, too. We talked about SMU earlier in the show. They were suspended from play in 87 and 88. Think of what the TV markets were like back then versus what the TV markets are right now. The fact that Penn State still gets to play on TV, where maybe SMU wasn't even on TV to begin with, that's going to help Penn State pull through this.
And the Big Ten did consider taking them off television, but they decided not to do that. They figured it was a punishment towards the fans that did nothing. So that was a thing I was thankful for. But when you look at everything, it's like everyone's piling on. Everyone's taking their shots at Penn State. And I'm glad that none of the other sports were affected as well, because when they first said on Sunday that they were going to sanction the university, not just fines, you thought, well, it's going to be more than this football program. It's going to be every program because it's the athletic department itself.
The nice thing is that the other programs weren't affected by any of this. The one thing that does come with the NCAA probation is that if there's another discretion of compliance at Penn State, they actually will now be able to lobby the lack of institutional control penalty at Penn State, and that could devastate the program. So Penn State will definitely have to mind their P's and Q's for the next 5 years. What I want to do now, we've talked about the sanctions, we've talked about how they affect the team. Let's talk about the fan base. We'll try and keep this quick. But going forward, this can go one of two ways for me. Either the fans and the fan base goes, you screwed up, we're done. Or they can go, you screwed up, you have rough road ahead of you, we're going to rally and support behind you. Based on being at that university, based on just what my thoughts are on that university, I think the fan base rallies behind this team, keeps that stadium filled, travels like they always have when they can, and they pull this team through it, be ready to hit the ground running in 5 years when all this stuff comes off the register.
I don't even know why you brought this up, because it's obvious. We both are Penn Staters. We both know what Penn State does. They rally around. They're going to rally around this team, around this university, and for the next 4 years, they're going to be there supporting them hard and fast. And when this sanction on the bowl bans finally expires, they're going to still be there. They're going to be rallying around that team. And in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years, whenever this team's finally back, they're going to be there and say that we stuck through thick and thin. And that's what a Penn Stater does.
Exactly. I 100% agree. And that's the one thing that no matter what happened, you know, back in 98 and 2001 and what happened in Old Main with the alleged cover up and things going forward like that, what we know is that the Penn State fans and the Penn State community will rally behind whatever needs rallying behind and go forward, whether it's SLON, which does great things for cancer kids all across the country, whether it's a football program who now finds itself in dire straits. I think the fact that the fans will rally behind like we know they will and always will in the future, that will help Penn State pull through this and come out on the other side, not only with a better football program, but a better university, but looking forward to the future.
Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode, this special edition episode. We hope we were able to inform you, give you a view on today's topic, because this is something that has hurt both of us, both John and I, Penn State alum. We know there's a lot of other alumni out there that feel the same way, and while we seem to have a bias in this show, this is the only show you'll hear a bias in us. So we hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening. We're Two Sports Nuts. You can email us, twosportsnuts@yahoo.com. You can comment on the Podbean page. For John Mulhern, this is Jerome Schell III. We're Two Sports Nuts.